Hey everyone, thanks so much for joining my podcast today. Really appreciate you taking the time, as always, to listen to me speak and listen to the stories that are told on this podcast. Today's podcast is a little bit different. You may have heard a noise of someone joining other than me. I have some great news. I actually have a guest here by the name of Ashley Siskin. Ashley Siskin is actually my uncle's brother and is a very close person in my life and close inspiration. So it's a true honor to have him. He is here to talk about his story. I think he provides a lot of inspiration for me to do this podcast as well as towards other people in his life. We'd love to give him the stage to briefly introduce himself. And, you know, we'll kind of go through that. Today's podcast setup is going to be more of an interview of Ashley more than a straight conversation for me. So be prepared for me to hear a lot of questions from me and conversation between me and Ashley. So Ashley, would love to kind of give you the floor and introduce you again. Thanks so much for being on the podcast today.
Hey, Daniel, absolutely delighted to be on your show. And thanks so much for asking me to join you.
Yeah, awesome. So obviously I know Ashley, but all my listeners do not know Ashley. So I would love to kind of give some time to Ashley to introduce himself. So Ashley, I think, you know, asking where you're from is a very basic question. What about the question, where have you been and where are you now and where are you going? I think that's an interesting question to ask because, you know, you have a very unique journey of location and life-wise. So take it away.
Okay, thanks, Dan. I feel that's quite three very big questions and I'll do my best to answer them, but if there's something specific, then please jump in and we'll delve deeper. Where have I been? Wow. Well, I'm born and bred in London, spent the first 30 years of my life there. I was born and bred into a very traditional environment in Northwest London, Jewish suburb. And I had a, let's say, not the most normal upbringing in childhood. I sadly lost my mother in her sleep when I was 5 years old, and we'll come on to this, but I think this has massively influenced who I am today and how I deal with challenges in my life. But yes, I had the start of, let's say, my career in London. I started in advertising agencies and had an extraordinary time in the 90s in London in the advertising heyday. And then from there, when I was 29, I moved to Sydney, Australia. And that was purely on the basis of wanting to explore a new chapter in my life, see another way of living and a lifestyle and a culture apart from London, and had 5 amazing years there. Also in the advertising industry, and met some incredible people, lifelong friends. And from there, I moved to Madrid, which is where I got married in Spain, to a lady called Anna, and had an extraordinary time there as well for 4 years. Absolutely loved the whole way in which the Spanish embrace life and have a real passion to enjoy the moment. And was moving there with the intention, however life often has other plans, of creating a long-term life there with my wife. As it happened in 2009, there was the big economic crisis that I think affected everyone and every country, but Spain particularly, and that meant I made a move with Anna to the Netherlands, to Amsterdam, which is where I am now. And that was with a view to having much more financial security and stability for my career and for Anna and I to start a family. However, yeah, after a few years, things didn't work out as we hoped. We struggled to start a family and yeah, we separated, we got divorced, and that was now 9 years ago. And I've stayed in Amsterdam. It's a wonderful city, wonderful culture, a wonderful country. I have close family that live here and made some wonderful friends. And this, I suppose, has also led me, whilst I've been in Amsterdam, taken me onto a whole exploration in terms of life, but and my career as well. I worked for a big corporate company, but then that was great experience, but never really where I thrived. And over the past 7-8 years, have much more worked in startups and the entrepreneur environment, co-founded a startup myself, and much more felt that this was an environment for me to really thrive, learn, grow. And that's where I am now.
Very cool. Yeah, no, I think it gave us a very good understanding of where you've been, where you are, and kind of a little bit of a sneak peek of where you want to continue to go. I guess, you know, from my perspective, I think I mentioned this on my podcast a little bit, but I travel a lot. I see the value of experiencing different cultures. And I think your experience in living in different countries with different perspectives and different ways of life can really teach you as an individual and others as well, if they listen to your experience. So, you know, what are some things that you learned along your way in moving along all those different countries? Because, you know, London, as you said, is completely different to Australia, and then it's completely different to Spain, and then it's even more different to the Netherlands. So what are some key takeaways that you've taken away along that journey of traveling and living in different places?
I think that the primary takeout is to be open-minded as to another way. So when I left London, I had a great life, but there was always a deep-seated curiosity to experience and explore another way of living, another culture in every aspect. And that's what I've embraced throughout my life. And in that way, it's really opened my eyes, my world, my network to extraordinary experiences that I've learned so much along the way, and also fundamentally people. And I think that's such a fundamental part of who we are, is who we choose to surround ourselves with, or right. who is in our world. And this is a really good question that I haven't really reflected so deeply on, so thanks for asking. But the fact that you move away from your own hometown, your own city, you're then in different environments where obviously people have different perspectives, backgrounds, but also particularly if I think back to my time in Sydney, I met people from such an eclectic background, different ages. I mean, if I think to birthday parties and the people that came, there'll be people that were 10 years younger than me and 10 years older than me. And there will be people from completely different backgrounds, whether it be sort of, you know, working class or a bit underprivileged, to people who, you know, come from a very well-to-do background, and all ethnicities. So that whole spirit of exploring and putting yourself out there in whatever city or country does invite this diversity of our society and the people that are in it. And
right.
I think if you're there showing up with your most authentic self, you're then attracting those people into your world. And what's that phrase? It's like, you know, if you're showing up with your vibe, you find your tribe.
Right.
And that's something I've so recognized even more recently with, you know, the journey I'm on, and I'm sure we'll get onto that, that if you're having that attitude, you attract the people that serve you and you serve them in the most beautiful way.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's 100% true. I think, you know, from my perspective growing up, I grew up outside New York City in a very similar area to where you grew up in London, but in the state sense, more of a bubble, right? You know, more of a area where, you know, there was a lot of, you know, let's be honest, privilege and not too much diversity, very, you know, collectivist, but very single in a singular way, not very spread out in diversity. And I think from my travels, I've been similar to you, being able to expand my perspective. Now, this may be, again, a long-winded question, but do you think that if you stayed in London and stayed in the area you were versus living in other places and seeing other countries along that way through travels, you would be a completely different person? Because I think one of the things that when I grew up, my parents told me, because I would always ask, they would take me out of school and they would take me around the world. And I would always ask, like, you know, don't I get in trouble? And one day they said, no, the teachers actually said that I'm learning much more from traveling and experiencing new things than I would be in the classroom. So I think, you know, do you think that really formulated who you are today?
100%. In fact, I'd happily be the poster child for that for that mindset, because ever since I was able to travel by myself, I was out the door. I had the backpack on.
Right.
I wanted to explore and see the world. As I say, I think I had this always deep-seated curiosity and never really accepted that, oh, this was the way and this is the way it's always going to be.
Right.
And 100% empathize with the way you described your upbringing. I also felt, and I've only reflected upon it recently, as to how much of a bubble I grew up in. You know, classic Northwest London, Jewish, you know, middle class, traditional world. And I now look back and go, there was something deep-seated in me, instinctive, to break out from it. Not to reject it, but to have at least some contrast, to have some perspective. And completely it's shaped who I am today. And yep. I'm proud of that. You know, there's a part of me, even funny enough, last night, Dan, you'll be laughing, I was with Si and Miri. So that's my uncle. Sorry, that's your aunt and uncle. That's my brother and sister-in-law. And we were looking at an app, Polar Steps, and it marked how many countries I'd been to. And I was proudly going, gosh, yeah, it looks like it's over 80. And that's a reflection of, yeah, that's who I am. This spirit of constantly wanting to see and experience and meet other perspectives.
Yeah.
And it only, I feel, enriches your own life in the sense of a sense of compassion and a sense of, as I say, another way, a sense of not just accepting the status quo. And 100%, that's influenced who I am today and hopefully my future.
Yeah, and that's exactly one of the messages in this overall podcast that I try to get across, is that, you know, we are born into a world or location, society, none of our choosing, right? You know, until, let's say, around 18 or sometimes younger, if you really love to explore, you're given everything in life without your permission, right? In the sense that you live in a society, you go by that society's rules, and most importantly, their perspective. So, you know, you growing up in a specific area, you were given a specific perspective without your choosing. And I think a lot of us are still geared that way, right? We don't necessarily ask the question, what if this is not the way? What if this is not the way to do things or to think? And I think the do things is its own part, but the way of thinking is even more. You know, I think in society, and we can get a little bit into this topic as well, in certain societies, mental health and vulnerability is not as spoken about versus others. I would argue in Western society, American society, people are very, you know, and maybe English society a little bit more even, people are very close. They're not very open versus the romantic countries, more or less like Italy and Spain. They're much more expressive. And I would say that that's very interesting that you lived in those places, because I can tell that you're a very expressive person, the way you speak in general with me and also so far. So I just wanted to kind of connect that and tell whoever's listening that, you know, traveling not only gives you new experiences, but it also allows you to say, hey, you know, the perspective I've had my whole life is actually not the only way. And that's going back to, you know, taking control of your perspective. So I would like to also get a little bit into, and again, if you want to add anything throughout the podcast that I missed, please do. But I'd like to get into a little bit about your current journey. You know, I think I would like you to talk a little bit about it. But you have had a pretty big struggle recently, and you know, you've garnered a lot of inspiration from that struggle, which I think is so powerful, because I, you know, have had my own struggle. I've spoken about it on this podcast with my vision, and I too, you know, have struggled to use that as a strength, right? So I'd love to allow you to talk a little bit about what that, you know, struggle is, and how you've changed that struggle into an inspiration, and then, you know, a strength, more or less.
Sure. Well, the story starts just under 2 years ago. I won't give you the full long version, but essentially I woke up on April 8th, 2022, with unexplained bruises all over my body and blood blisters inside my mouth. And I called my local doctor and explained these symptoms. And we have to remember this is during the sort of tail end of COVID. And they were pretty shocked and said I needed to go to hospital as soon as possible, where I'll be fast-tracked to get some tests. And I arrived at the hospital, and basically the test revealed I had life-threateningly low red blood cells and thrombocytes, which are sort of the platelets that you need to have for your blood to clot. They were life-threateningly low. I was admitted to hospital, and over the next few days, I was then diagnosed with a non-Hodgkin's lymphoma and very rare autoimmune disease. And as you say, Dan, as with all these things in life where you're sent a curveball, it's often a wake-up call. Yeah. And this led me into a period, particularly as I then went through a pretty rough, aggressive form of chemotherapy and immunotherapy treatment, to essentially become helpless. And I then embraced, or was forced to embrace, this world of help. And what I mean by this world of help is, first of all, just accept it. You know, you're lying on a hospital bed, pretty much helpless, and you have this incredible medical team who are there just to support you and help you. And then as the journey progressed, being forced to ask for help, as and when I was like sent home and going through chemotherapy and put into pretty helpless situations. And yeah. I now reflect, well, at that time, I reflected upon, wow, this was something I'd been denying myself for nearly 49 years of this joy and this beautiful bonding, relationship building experience of when you accept help and ask for help. Not only for yourself, but the penny dropping moment was realizing how much joy and sense of pride and sense of love and support people experience by simply having their offer for help accepted. So with this in mind, I have drawn upon the experience to then be my motivation to share my story. Mm-hmm. Share my story in the spirit of, I don't think I'm the only stubborn middle-aged man out there who decides to go through life incredibly independent and proudly self-reliant and has the often instinctive answer of going, no, 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 I'm fine, I'm okay, I'll manage, I don't want to be a burden. To share my story in the spirit of, well, look what happens and how you can change your life when you're brave enough to accept and ask for help.
Right. And I think, this, go ahead.
Well, and this is what then led me onto my first, shall we say, part of this journey I'm on now, to start a podcast, and it's called The Gift of Help for Yourself and Each Other. And it's a series of episodes where people share their stories, particularly around health challenges and struggles. And obviously that's how you've been on my show, Dan, and we've had an amazing conversation to share the insight and experiences of basically how one's attitude and experience towards help has changed and evolved when you're put into helpless situations, and to share that in a relatable way to listeners, but also fundamentally to provide some insights around tips and hacks and understanding of where we hold ourselves back and why we're resistant to asking for help, but also then some tips and tricks to get over ourselves, because I'm a huge believer in, if we can trigger this, if people can be equipped with ways to get over themselves, we are going to be able to trigger this tsunami of, if people are more able and comfortable to ask for help and accept help, it's going to have this ripple effect that there's only a win-win, and it's going to essentially change your own world and the worlds of those around you.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think one thing that kind of coincides with that is that if people were more vulnerable and people are more open and people are more understanding and willing to listen, I think people would be much more well equipped to work towards a positive future, right? You know, we live in a world where we're very segmented. We're very this or that. Like, if you think this, then you're that. If you think that, then you're this. And it's that kind of opportunity that you're saying, where we can be human, right? We can be open with ourselves, you know, first of all, saying to ourselves that we should and can accept help, accept others in our lives, and also allowing others to understand the power of helping and giving to others. And I think that's such an important thing that I try to talk about this on the podcast as much as I can, is don't be afraid to keep what you feel inside. Try to open it up, because you don't know what other people are going through. They could be going through something similar, if not the same thing, or have gone through something similar, the same thing. So that's why it's so important to be open, because you can work together rather than work alone. So I think that's a really good, great message. Now, I'd like to kind of not compare, but kind of discuss a little bit the struggle of dealing with something that you're given at birth versus something that is dropped on you randomly in your life. You know, you mentioned your mother's passing, which is devastating at any point in life. But, you know, I understand that it was very sudden. And, you know, this disease, your cancer was also very sudden. When I look at myself, you know, I obviously have my own struggles, not the same thing. I don't think, honestly, to the same extent, but I was born with a vision disability, right? I've lived with it my whole life. It wasn't just dropped on me randomly one day. Has there been ups and downs? Of course. You know, it's not easy. But I had to learn to live with it, right? The question is, how do you, and again, it may be more pertinent to your current state and your recent state versus you as a child, but when something's thrown at you, you're walking down the street and you're just boom, everything's changed. How do you deal with it? How do you take that in? How do you go on? Because, you know, as I said, I've lived with it my whole life. I've kind of just had so much time to deal with it. You know, I could never imagine something just bang hitting me and then my whole life really shattering in a lot of ways. So I don't know if that makes sense, but hopefully it does.
I'll try and unpick it there. And I think the way I'll do that is actually to focus on the two most significant life events I've been through, which is, yeah, losing my mother and then getting this cancer diagnosis. So if I
had to deal
with that as a five-year-old, or losing my mother, I now recognize so clearly that I developed a coping mechanism of being independent. I now can see that as a five-year-old, I perhaps was thinking, right, I had a mother one day and then the next day I didn't. So I can't rely on anything. And then went about most of the rest of my life being fiercely independent and proudly self-reliant. It's fascinating now. Over the past couple of years, I've now gone and done some work with my therapist, and through conversations and being invited onto podcasts, being able to reflect on, yeah, I was, you know, probably the first kid in my class to be getting up at 6 a.m. and doing a paper round, to starting up a little mini car washing business with my brother, the first person to go away independently without my parents, to leave home, to get a job, to buy an apartment. I had this fierce drive to do everything myself and only rely on myself. And that's created coping mechanisms which has served me in some circumstances, but clearly I now recognize for the second major life event that I've experienced doesn't serve me. And so to try and answer your question through the lens of now what happened 2 years ago, how did I react? Well, the strange but cliched silver lining through this is that I had no choice but to go in survival mode, which then meant I didn't have all those blockers and things that when you're allowed to think about what's best, what's not best, what's my identity, how's everyone going to see me, blah, 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 got abandoned. I had no choice but to go, right, Ash, you're literally in survival mode. So you accept everything that's offered to you. You have no choice. Right. And that was this, yeah, I call it near epiphany of being on a, what I can now call accept help boot camp, that has allowed me to go, oh my God. So this is what it feels like to be, to your point, vulnerable, to be accepting, to not overthink things, to put your mental health as well as your physical health as top priority, and everything else just literally gets sidelined.
Right.
And this has then now allowed me to experience these extraordinary life lessons. I mean, it's when I think about it, it's nearly like a shopping list of the practice of being patient, of compassion, of letting go, of enjoying the moment, of prioritizing actually genuinely what's important to you, to be authentic. The list goes on. The list goes on. And if I may, actually, I could then sort of continue this thread that has led me with where I am on my journey, which we touched upon as to it started with the podcast and what I call now this initiative of the gift of help, that I feel like I've now shown up in a world that I've never felt so authentic and clear as to what I want to do with my life. And some amazing things are now happening. And we can touch upon them whenever is appropriate.
Yeah, I would love to dive deeper into that as well. One thing I want to take a second for everyone to take in is that Ashley's talking about a real shift in his life and his mindset from a very unfortunate event that, you know, he still mentioned he's struggling with, right? And I think a lot of us say to ourselves, oh, you know, that's really difficult and I feel for you. But I have actually learned that you can actually take a lot from other people's experiences, especially the difficult ones, right? I kind of have learned a lot from your experience as well, you talking about it and unfortunately seeing you, you know, struggle. And I've also had, you know, my dad who was sick a couple of years with cancer, and I've seen what he's gone through. And it was a real wake-up call for me in a lot of ways, because it's allowed me to see how important it is to, you know, be open to help and be close to others, but also to be grateful for the things that I have, you know, the things that, you know, people take for granted, your health and things like that. And I'm sure you had that perspective as well. You look at a lot of things differently now than you did previously. And it's so fascinating to see how, you know, when your mother passed away, you took the reaction of independence. You know, you're your own person. You're going to live your own life. You're going to be in control of you. Now you realize in your life, something has come into it that is completely out of your control. And you're, you know, challenged to take control, and you see a different route, not just being independent and being true to yourself, but also opening up more and being understanding that there are people there who can probably help you more than you can do alone. And I think that's such a powerful thing that, you know, especially in individualistic societies like the States and in England, in a lot of ways, you know, we need to do more of. I find it always fascinating to look at Asian societies and specifically South Asian societies, where they're very family oriented, right? The family oftentimes live in one house together. You know, people don't just leave after a certain age. They're very close together. And if anything, the parents actually come live with the kids eventually. And I look at the States where, you know, we immediately have to leave our house. We immediately have to be independent. And we have that solo mindset where the world is against us and we need to be alone and we need to be by ourselves. And I'm wondering, how do you tell someone who's younger, who doesn't believe the world is there for them to help them, believe in that? you know, because like obviously you've gotten a lot of help during this the struggle, but an average person, how would you tell that person to trust the value of help more?
Wow. I think I would take a step back. I don't think you can tell someone. You can inspire them. You can show them another perspective. I think that it starts fundamentally with yourself.
Right.
It starts with the bravery and the vulnerability to look inside. So if you do have distrust, or you do have this over-indexing on independence, or a sense of you've just got to go it alone, I think there's ways that you could be inspired. So if you're at that younger age where you're being heavily influenced by those cultural dynamics, then there's going to be often a trigger. And in my experience, it's very difficult to get the average Joe to then change radically unless something radical happens in their life. And some of the wonderful conversations and people I've met, those changes have happened because of some health journey, or perhaps because of a entrepreneurial ambition, and you just get put through the ringer, as one does when you're starting up your own business, or some other curveball has been thrown at you in life. And then that often is the invitation or trigger to rethink how you're going about handling life in general. Right. But to pick up specifically on your question, how would you tell a young person? Gosh, it's to be brave enough to find, well, first of all, I think you've got to identify what your own needs are.
Right.
So if you're a young person and there's areas of your life that's going well, fair enough. But if there's areas of your life that not are going well, it's to try to do the work on going, well, where, if I'm being really honest and brave, could I benefit from help? I don't know. It could be in your career. It could be in finding a relationship. It could be financially. It could be some aspect of socially in friendships or your family. And being ruthlessly honest with yourself, going, well, that could be better. Or, I don't necessarily feel I'm handling that very well. Or I could do with a real step up in that area of my life. So to do that honest reflection as to, right, what are your needs as stage one? And then phase two is going, right, with those needs, where could I actually benefit from support and help? And then stage three would be, okay, to have the bravery, and we'll get onto it if you want, as to some of the things now I'm creating and developing and have some amazing collaborations to look at the mastery of, once you've identified where you need help, how you're going to be most comfortable and proficient to ask for that help, which right. I'm becoming increasingly aware isn't just a simple, well, just go and ask for help, you know. Yeah. It's like, we'll just go out and, you know, buy it from the supermarket. It's not so simple as that. There is some real challenges that we all have, but they're all very personal.
Right.
And that's also something I'm increasingly aware of. And when I talk about this passionately, that it's not a one size fits all.
Right.
And that's increasingly what I recognize in life, as to changes behaviorally, as to who we are as individuals, are as individual as we are. So it's not like, right, here's the silver bullet, do it and you're over it and you've done it and you change your life. No, you've got to look at it as to, well, who am I? What are my challenges? What are my blockers? And then what are the ways that are going to most effectively get over those blockers that work for me?
Yeah, and that's such an important thing to mention, is that, you know, I try to say this honestly every podcast, is that I talk about my experiences, you're talking about your experiences, but every single person has a experience, and therefore every single person should have a unique perspective. Yet, as I said, going back a little bit into the episode, a lot of our perspectives are kind of pushed onto us without us asking, but in actuality, we need to form our own perspective because we are living our own unique life. We're writing our own unique book. And that's such a powerful thing that I think a lot of us can take away from your story as well, is that, you know, you've been thrown so many different things in so many different directions. Sure, maybe there's someone out there who has similar things, but you are Ashley Siskin, you are you, and therefore you have realized that you have control of your perspective, no one else. And I think going back to kind of how do you, you know, work to accept help and how do you also trust yourself is, you know, from my perspective, I understand it as trusting yourself, believing in yourself, being 100% for yourself, but also being continuously trying to be as much of a student as possible. Someone who's going to the quote unquote class to listen to other people's experiences, other people's perspectives, and thereby learning how to be a better person and better trust in yourself. Because again, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm sure your vulnerability and your openness to help has allowed you to also trust and believe in yourself that much more, because you said, okay, I'm actually growing as a person now. You know, I'm not the same person I was 5-10 years ago. And I think that goes really well into the next part that I want to talk about, is how are you teaching other students to kind of think the way you are in their own respective way? I know you're working on some really great classes, and you mentioned you have a, you know, a great podcast that I had the pleasure of being on. Kind of go a little bit into that and how you see that as a big stepping stone to pushing your vision amongst other people in your life and in the world, hopefully.
Sure. I feel like there's a part of this, I'm just going to take half a step back to then frame what I'm going to tell you, which is touching upon something we've already mentioned in the podcast, of this sense of tapping into and trying to live out your true self. And the story I've been through is, yeah, life circumstances have taken me to spaces where you're so forced to be yourself because nothing else matters. You're not interested in the projection of a certain image or values or virtue signaling or the Instagram culture. It's getting incredibly inward looking because you're reduced to a state of like a survival and what's most important to you. With that in mind, that's where I got to, and it became so clear as to then, well, what do I want to passionately pursue? What do I want to do with my life? Which has led me to this, what started as a passion project, which is increasingly becoming an initiative and going to be my livelihood, around what I call this concept of the gift of help. And the mission I have, which is to transform us from a world of help rejectors to help receivers. And the reason why I've sort of framed this answer with that as a backdrop is because I've now fundamentally a massive advocate of, when you show up in the world as your most authentic self, the universe just presents opportunities to you. And then if you've got that authenticity and this clarity of where you want to go, then you can more readily see those opportunities when they're presented. So yeah, where I was 6-9 months ago, I had the podcast up and running. I was really enjoying it, but it was as a sort of side project, a passion project. But I really did feel like there was so many other ways in which I would want to increase the reach and impact of this initiative. And to take this whole concept of like the universe just throws opportunities at you when you know, perhaps least expected them, but you've got to see them. Yeah, 7 months ago, I was on the Eurostar departures building in London, and standing next to me was Simon Sinek. Now, I imagine a majority of your listeners are aware of who Simon Sinek is, but for those who don't, he's an inspirational speaker, best-selling author, podcast host, and probably most famous for his concept of finding your why, and someone that I've always admired. And him standing next to me just felt like this extraordinary opportunity of the universe giving me this chance for tapping into the world of help. So there I was, practicing what I'm preaching, in the sense of getting over myself, get over my fears of rejection or what happens if he's not wanting to be, you know, spoken to and wants to protect his anonymity, all these blockers, and went up to him, introduced myself, and long story short, I gave him my backstory and this whole initiative I have and this mission of encouraging and inspiring and motivating people to be more proficient and comfortable accepting help and asking for it. The upshot of it has been a long journey, but I've been invited now to create an online course in collaboration with Simon Sinek. And the title of it is called Mastering the Skill of Asking for Help. And in the next few months, it's going to be live on his Optimism Library, which is like an online learning platform. And they're going to be promoting it to the, I think, 4 million followers of Simon Sinek. And I'll start facilitating and hosting these workshops and online courses to an extraordinary number of people that I never would have imagined would be possible 7 months ago. And the whole spirit of the course, as we've touched upon here, Daniel, is to recognize that there needs to be a phase of self-awareness and bravery and vulnerability, that if you do have resistance to asking for help, is to try to understand why and what is causing that resistance. What are your blockers? And with the course that I offer, we go through some exercises to get to that space, because when you're much more aware of what's holding you back, you can be much more equipped to then find the solution to get over them. And that's the other part of the course, that we go through ways and strategies and techniques to get over yourself, to get to a point of being more comfortable and more proficient at asking for help. And with that empowerment, I'm a passionate believer in that can just bit by bit massively change your world. And if you're tapping into, right, well, where do I need most help in your life, and recognizing that basically help is out there in abundance, you've just got to have the bravery to get over yourself and then have the skills to more readily, more proficiently ask for it, you're going to game change and massively enhance your life. And as we've talked about, the halo effect, the secondary benefit is you're going to allow the people that you're going to be asking for help to be lifted and feel like they're helping their fellow human being. So it's only going to be a win-win. And this is the extraordinarily exciting step change that I'm now reveling in this whole journey, in this whole mission. And I'm also incredibly excited about this. Still just feels like the beginning, but it's a massive, huge step forward on this journey, on this mission. So
yeah, I think
glad to be able to share that with you.
Yeah, I think the word that I feel when I hear, because I've heard the story, but hearing it again and hearing, you know, what's come about it, I think the word that I would use is awe. I think the word, and if no one heard what I said, that AWE, the feeling of awe, like it's like, you know, like mesmerized, like amazed by what the universe can do and how the universe really works in mysterious ways. You know, we oftentimes, you know, determine as something to be good or bad immediately, and we close the door. And obviously your struggle that you're still going through is extremely unfortunate, and we only want good things to come from that in the sense of you getting better as soon as possible. But I think that we sometimes as humans are quick to judge, and you know, even the most difficult things can sometimes bring that little light in life. And I think you are a living example, and that story is a very loud story that makes me feel that one can have hope for those lights in difficult times. You know, I kind of look back on my life and I say to myself, yeah, I've been given a very difficult, you know, set of cards in a lot of ways, but I could sit there and focus on that, or I can accept it and focus on all the lights that I've been given and all the blessings that I've been given, you know? So I think it's not only choosing your perspective on how you want to live your life, but it's also, how do you view your life? How do you view the things that you're given? Do you look at it and say to yourself, oh, you know, screw this, the world has everything against me? Or do I say, you know what, this is hard, and I'm sad that the universe has given me this. It's not fair in a lot of ways, but you know what, I'm going to accept this and make myself stronger, and also look at the things that are working out for me. Which is, it's amazing that through all your journey, you meet this one individual who is really, really an inspiration for you, and so aligned with what you want to accomplish. And now you have that mode to teach so many other people. And again, it's sometimes hard to even say, but difficult things have sometimes little blessings in it. You know, I see it more often now that I realize it. You know, like when you start to realize that it's something's possible, you start to notice it a lot more in your life. So I think that's so beautiful, and I think it should be an inspiration to all that, whatever struggle you're going through, you know, it doesn't have to be, you know, a awful disease, or you know, a disability, or you know, something awful that has happened to your life. It can be something as simple as struggling in school, or you know, struggling socially. Try to look at the positives rather than just the negatives, and I think that's such a powerful thing that you embody so well. You know, I think I can ask questions for hours, but I really want to kind of open it up to you and see if you have any questions overall that you want to dive deep into, or anything that you want to put forward. You know, this is one podcast, but we're so excited, and I'm personally so excited to see what's coming so soon with you and all the amazing things that are going to even happen in the near and far future.
Well, thanks, Dan, and really, really enjoyed this conversation and this opportunity to talk about my initiative. I would very simply encourage the listeners to your show to recognize, if they are the classic person that is resistant to help, and here's another observation that I've had through this journey, is that often the people that are most comfortable and instinctive at offering help, they're the ones who are most perhaps challenged and uncomfortable and resistant to asking for help, and yet often are the ones that are most deserving of help, to just take a moment to realize that you're not only denying yourself, but also you're denying the people around you this joy, this sense of pride, this oxytocin hit that we're hardwired to receive when we engage in pro-social acts, to then perhaps reframe your mindset, your attitude to what you feel like maybe is being selfless by not asking for help, by not accepting it, because you're not putting someone out, to reframe that.
Right.
To reframe it as, this is a extraordinary gift to reinforce the relationships in your life, to build the trust of those relationships in your life, to grow, to learn, to get over yourself if it's this fear of maybe looking stupid. No, you can reframe it and say, think of it as going, actually, I'd love to get your advice. This is a way to then invite somebody else to revel in the fact that they've got something to offer and have a sense of identity and utility to offer you. There's so much that can be opened up in the value of the relationship you have with that person you're asking for help or accepting help from, for yourself, for them, and it has the potential for this contagion effect, in that same spirit of gestures of generosity are often ones that spread even more generosity in the world. The same can be viewed for asking for and accepting help. And there is only an upside. There is only a positive benefit for yourself, for those people around you, to improve your life and welcome more help into your world, because you deserve it. And it touches on so many aspects that you've mentioned, including mental health, self-worth, self-compassion, empathy. There are so many themes. And to then bring it back to some of the themes that you've been talking about, Dan, yeah, this sense of perspective on your own life. And if I can indulge briefly in terms of, the curveballs that have been thrown to me in my life, it's very difficult to see when you're right in the middle of them, you're stuck in the mud. But it's those events, those curveballs are life's gifts. Those are the ones where you learn the most. You know, it's in the periods of most discomfort that you grow. And if you're prepared to accept that, if you're prepared to take the bravery and vulnerability to look at it through that lens, then amazing things can happen. And to tie that into my project, the theme that I'm often trying to champion is, look what amazing things can happen when you dare to ask for help. My story with Simon Sinek is a primary example, and I hope that can be an inspiration to others that, if you can get over yourself, then you can trigger beautiful, amazing things to happen in your own life.
Yeah, and it's been an inspiration for me, and this podcast has extended that inspiration to me. And I think, you know, the question, the words that I would use is first of all, you know, challenge yourself, ask yourself questions, you know, to expand your horizon and perspective and way of going about life, and, you know, being vulnerable as much as you can. And I honestly sometimes think that this topic also challenges how I look, because I talk a lot about on this podcast being an independent self with your own perspective. But, you know, the power, as you've said throughout the podcast, of help is so, so true. I mean, I could tell you, when I help someone, the only feeling I feel is joy. And trust me, people helping you are going to feel that joy as well. So don't, as you said, don't say no to it, be open to it. And I think another thing is, you know, grit. You know, the word grit is so true in a lot of ways, not just in entrepreneurship, but also just in general life. You know, you don't know the end of the tunnel until you continue driving forward, right? And that's a perspective that I think you have, and I try to have, and I think many people should have and can have, is, you know, don't look at the door being closed. Look at the door always being open and trying to go further and trying to, you know, push a little bit more. Because if you push that much more, as you said, amazing things can happen, and then the universe can provide so much beauty and positivity. So again, I just want to say thank you so much for coming onto this podcast. It's one of many conversations I hope we continue to have. You know, anyone out there listening, you know, hope you take a lot from Ashley's journey. You know, obviously you are not Ashley, but you can definitely understand and try to take in and learn from his experience and try to apply it to your own life. In the podcast description, I will put all Ashley's information, as well as his links to his podcast, and, you know, hopefully soon we will get to share those courses that with Simon Sinek. I think it's such a beautiful thing that you're doing, and I just wanted to say thank you again for coming on today.
Daniel, the gratitude goes both ways. Massively enjoyed this conversation. Really appreciated your questions, the opportunity to share my story and my mission. I deep down hope it's inspired your listeners, motivated them, given them new perspectives and things to think about. And I, thank you again. I wish you well with this podcast and everything you're going for in the future. And I hope you ask for help along the way.
Awesome. All right, guys. Thanks so much for joining my podcast today. And we'll talk soon.